Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.thegologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow thegologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Ready. We're in the audio chat live stream. It's Thursday, September 17th, 2020. We are waiting for Sky Larkin. Hi, Sky Larkin.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. We got Tom Delpra. Tommy Tantrum.
Yes, apologies about that. Sorry about that. Yes, Tommy Tantrum here from Cambridge, England. Nice to hear you.
We don't need any apologies. Stop apologizing, man. Jesus, stop it.
And my colleague said that to me. My colleague said that to me the other day at work, and I said, oh, sorry. It took completely naturally.
I do that a lot. It's because we're from England. We can't fucking help it, can we? It's like, it's just natural to say sorry for everything. Someone steps on my foot and I'm like, oh, sorry.
Well, life has battered me down so much. I've got to default position of saying, well, I must have fucked up. I'm so sorry. I'm actually so sorry I'm here. You know, I apologise. You know, something's bound to go weird. You know, and you're going to call me mad or something. So, I'm just trying to have a bit of fun with it.
I thought that was a Canadian thing more than anything.
It's a trait. Well, you're very much, you know, it's a trait that we admire in Canadians and you perhaps admire in us. Self-effacement.
Yeah, yeah, it's terrible, really. It's probably what's got us to this pickle that we're in right now.
Apologist nations.
Yeah, we should just apologize for existing, and they basically want us to all take the demise bill and get lost.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of depressing sort of dystopian thought processes which this psyop sort of puts in our heads, doesn't it, really? Because we see it so clearly. It does almost seem like, well, they're just fucking, might as well, it's like the global warming thing, we might as well not fucking breathe. Do you know what I mean? It's so, like, crass when we see through it so clearly. I suppose to influence the masses, it has to be like that, Tim, doesn't it? It's perhaps not a literal message to us. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but it's
terrible. It's in your face. Tell us about the front lines of the terror network that you're in.
Oh, absolutely no difference throughout from the beginning, before it came, during it, or after, and up to now, in any sort of deaths or my sort of any big word about this COVID-19 here in Cambridge, England. You know, I certainly no gross death rate and no big hype in my company. Like, there's nothing different, nothing's changed, you know. But that's just my small cross-section.
What do you have to do differently now? You must have to do something differently now.
We had this sort of tracking us of coming in anyway, with signing in and out, which we didn't have to do necessarily before. We had to do it on the phone or whatever, so this is tracking us a bit. But, of course, if anyone gets ill, they've got to then have 2 weeks off, you know, and you lose money. We're all on 0-hour contract. So this happened during the epidemic. I was exposed to someone who was said to have had it later, and then I had to have 2 weeks isolation, so I lost money. So people won't want to get ill in my game. That's one thing. You know what I mean? As soon as you got ill, you have 2 weeks off. And we all got away.
I love the IPS. IPS was, we were talking last night, I hope you guys listened to it, and he said, we're going to have an active sneezer drill. Well, we got an active sneezer in the house.
Nah, it's like that. It's like that, isn't it? Yesterday I was in the supermarket, and there was a woman behind me who sneezed, and I said, bless you. and she turned around, and we both looked at each other because we didn't have masks on, so it was like a solidarity straight away. And
oh, nice.
It was just like, yeah, it was really nice, because generally, if you sneeze or cough now, honestly, people will look at you if you're standing in a queue, and they'll turn around, or they'll move away, or stand further away, or it's really...
They'll hit the floor.
they'll die immediately, because your snot, like, knocks them over, like...
We've got a new superpower, haven't we? Yeah, our breath.
Yeah.
There's deadly breath to some people. A fearsome weapon. But this is the tragic thing, it feels, doesn't it? Look, that it's making people... I sat down at a bus stop the other day about a metre away from someone, and they audibly tutted and said... And I said, what are you tutting at me? I don't want what you've got. I was perfectly all right in here before you arrived. Haven't you heard of social distancing?
Oh, my God.
I don't know what you've got confidence. You don't fucking want that.
Tom, do you still have a beard?
No, not at the moment. I shave.
Oh, I was gonna say, you could have said, you won't catch my beard.
Yeah.
Or my long hair. Don't worry, you're not going to catch what I have, brains.
Yeah, I mean, I should have said something a bit more polite than I did. I couldn't help but just sort of say, fuck me, what the fuck has the world come to? I will go away. I've never known someone so up their arse.
Yeah.
There'll be more to come. Wait till the sun disappears, because then people actually will be a little more under the weather, literally. So
yes, I've been
wait till
miserable.
That happens.
Definitely.
Yeah, but
I'm dreading winter. It's gonna be awful. It's gonna be really awful.
Well, imagine having a cold. You know what could you do? You'd feel like a social pariah, wouldn't you? You know, just as we're talking about. At the moment, I mean, I'm kind of generally lucky. I don't get many colds, you know, but I know I've always colleagues during the winter, especially a lot of the sort of main Africans and things, because they haven't picked up these little things before, seem to get colds quite often. And I just wonder how it's going to pan out going through the winter this year. Definitely be interesting, won't it?
Yeah, everyone will think that they have COVID, because they keep adding to the symptoms now. So if you've got the shits, if you have diarrhea, or you're vomiting now, it's not COVID. If you fart, your farts can transmit COVID from one person to another if you fucking break wind.
It's everything. Anything you want.
Skylarking, you're a woman. You're lucky you don't fart, right? Because women don't fart.
Well, I do, but mine smell of roses, luckily. I'm really
lucky
on that.
You just drop roses,
smell
yeah.
Smell of flowers. Yeah.
How do you manage that? Because I'd really like to do that. Because, you know, I take a dump around near my woman or what if I had one. It can be not that pleasant sometimes, you know. I have to admit, the fact that I make my own pickles, is that relevant?
Possibly. You should wear a mask on your butt.
Yeah, exactly. We should be wearing masks at all times, even on the phone. Because, yeah, I mean, I'm not 100% sure you can't. You know what I mean? You're talking quite close up to your receiver. I mean, this stuff...
Well, you are. I'm 6 feet away from my mic.
Oh.
I'm
so used to it. Yes, yeah. So the new rules came in this week, the rule of six.
The rule of six.
Oh.
How satanic is that?
Pods of six.
Birmingham. Yes.
What are the rules of six? That's news to me. What's that?
Groups of six people.
Sorry,
no, you go after. Again, I don't know it all properly.
No,
go on. Well, groups of six people. A maximum of six people in a group, and then you've got to be in a bubble, and that bubble's got to be 6 feet away from any other bubble of six people. And then what's the other six?
Well, it's people that you don't know yet. You can still continue to go to work and go to school gyms are still open, you can still go to the pub, so it just doesn't make fucking sense. Basically they're saying you can't see other people that are in your family or a friend group and go to their house. It's really fucking stupid, but you can still continue to go to work and to school with strangers and sit with a bunch of strangers that are more than a group of six. It just doesn't make sense. But in a way, I think it's helping people to see it's nonsense because it's just so ridiculous because they've took a back step, but it just doesn't make any sense. And in Birmingham here, they've told us that we can't visit anybody either. We can't go in. We have to stay in our bubbles at home. So they've shut Birmingham down to that extent. I mean, everything's still open, but...
How far is Birmingham from Cambridge?
Do you have no idea? I've never been to Cambridge. I don't know.
I think you could probably drive it in not much more than an hour and a half, hour and three quarters. It's not far, really.
Oh, yes. Not far.
I think we should have Fakeologist meetups. What do you think?
I think meetups would be really good. I'd be up for that because I need to see people. I mean, it's lovely talking on here and everything, but I'm worried that the internet will go down at some stage. So we need, like, communities, really, so that we can stay in touch and things because this is...
Well, the No Agenda show has meetups. I think it's really good. If I had more time off, I'd go to one. But yeah, the Fakeologists should have meetups. Someone should organize a meetup. You guys
are
close enough.
I must admit, I'd like to do that. I think you're right, Skylark, and it'd feel healthy, just for the real person of it, sort of thing. Yeah, because it's such a sort of,
We could do a six person meetup in a bubble.
That.
I mean, it was always sarcastic, probably. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, bubbles. I mean, it's a classic. They break gender 21. I'm sure it's in the literature, you know.
Yeah.
Breaking down
the
family.
How far is Manchester from you guys?
That's another sort of...
About 2 hours drive. Yeah.
You should get Napoleon. You guys should have a meetup.
That's
three people I know. I'm just trying to think of all the people I know over there.
Well, Felix. Felix once suggested we meet in Cambridge to me.
Yeah. Is he from Cambridge?
No, but he knows it though. I think he's London, isn't he? Yeah, he's London. So, but not far. That's only about just over an hour's drive from Cambridge.
Other British person I've met. I've been asking if there's any other like people from England and nobody's said. And so you're the only other person I've spoke to, apart from La Française, who is a French woman who lives in Manchester. I've spoke to one the chat.
Oh yeah, La Française. Yeah, bless her. Yeah, she loves those She's got a fascination with the
China.
Yes,
lovely.
Yeah,
I think it's a vital part of Fakeology. You might poo poo it, Tom, but I think it's real.
The thing is you don't throw the bathwater out with the baby. I'm not necessarily poo-pooing anything in general. What I'm saying is picking out each and individual bit of evidence one by one, and I've called quite a lot of those absolute bullshit. And that was from the start, day one of that, pushed agenda.
But would you agree that men are at least dressing up like women? At least. At the very least.
Men in slip-on shoes, I can't deal with it. Men wearing slip-ons with no socks.
There's a weekly club that meet at this gig that my friend runs. And they're cross-dressers and sex changers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, cross-dressing. Tom, have you yourself, have you ever worn a pair of ladies' panties? Yes or no?
Right, okay, I'll tell you down straight. One time when I was quite young, they got me to dress in stockings and suspenders and all the underwear. And then I did that for a night, and they took a video or something. I was quite embarrassed. The girls got me to do it.
Oh, there we go.
That was embarrassing. And then I went to a fancy dress party years later. Well, listen to me. You've got to hear me from the horse's mouth, or the girl's, the filly's mouth, perhaps you could say. It was, wonderfully turned out in the paddock. I once went to a fancy dress party as a woman as well, and I shaved my legs.
Really?
Upon my calves, and I put these stockings on, because I thought, oh, that'll be super sexy. And I put makeup on, and I looked at myself, and I was just I looked very ugly. That's all I can say. Yeah. And I didn't feel sexy at all. And that's the last time I ever did it. And the hair never regrew on my calves. Apart from that, it's wonderful.
Oh. You have great calves now.
Well, exactly. Yes, they're smooth. But like
do
a cyclist.
Do you get chafing on your calves now or no?
No, not necessarily. I ride them for hours. But no, it's true. I'd be.
Oh, fantastic. That's a slippery slope, the EGI. You were on that slope, obviously.
Oh, I'm absolutely. It's a knockout, and this is a heavily, heavily lubricated slope, and I'm just slobbering all over it with all my clothes busted, ripped off my body. Anyway, fair enough. I mean, it's very interesting. Well, it's all very interesting. But, so what about you, Tim, over there? Is there any sort of, how's it morphing over there, this COVID nonsense?
Well, I can see signs that they're going to do another lockdown. They've only been talking about it the whole time, so. I see signs today they're going, where the province I live, they're gonna start the limitations back up. I saw cones at some of the parks that reappeared, so it looks like they're gonna start blocking off the parks and places where people might gather, because it's still nice weather here, and the leaves turn, so people like to go to parks and whatnot, because the colors come out, and I think they're gonna block all that off very shortly. I saw evidence of that today, physical evidence, so. They're gonna go back down, and
a little further.
Another wave.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
I imagine that right now you're feeling a bit like Alice, tumbling down the rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, this is always the thing I... thing I said about being down a rabbit hole, we don't want to be down a rabbit hole, do we really? This is why someone like David Weiss had his down the rabbit hole thing. Well, that's just the place you don't want to be down. You don't want to be sort of going down the wrong sort of passageway as you navigate your way out of Plato's cave, perhaps, if I can say that. So, yeah, we don't want to be down a rabbit hole. But people talk about it in the alternative.
IPS is doing some good discussion on the meaning of the rabbit hole and falling down and Lewis Carroll and all that. I can't remember exactly what he was saying, but he often goes off on these very interesting tangents regarding what that was all about. I can't remember it, but if anyone listens to IPS, try and recall, go listen to stuff. I still say he's fantastic. I talked to him last night. Did you hear?
I didn't hear it, but he is. He's really cool, I must admit. I can't deny it. But, I mean, it seems clear to me that he is part of the sort of apparatus. You know, he's a very clever guy, but he's throwing in some non sequiturs there. And, you know, it feels like an old pattern is emerging here. But he's too clever to be anything else. Do you know what I mean? But he's a top guy. Yeah, he's good at what he does. And he knows his stuff. He talks some interesting cutting-edge stuff, I'd say, which makes listening to it, you know, doable for me.
Yeah, I like IPS. I haven't listened for a while, though, for about, a couple of months, but I do generally. I've called in a couple of times as well.
Did you get through?
Yeah, I did. I got through from here. Yeah.
Well, send me the audio. I never heard that. Send me the audio. Send me the link.
I didn't save them. I don't know where they are, but I just called on and chatted shit. I was drunk. I just chatted shite, but, you know.
Oh.
No, it wasn't.
Well, I was on last night with him for an hour and a bit, so go ahead. Check fakeologist.com.
Oh, cool. Oh, you got
blog.
A good... Good call in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be worth listening to. Yeah, okay, I'll give it a spin.
Is that grand? Yeah, an hour and a half is a long time. Yeah.
Well, it was about an hour and a bit. It won't seem like an hour and a half, Skylarkin. Just listen in. The time will fly by.
I was trying
to get off the call because I didn't want to dominate and I had things to do, but an hour just flies by when you're talking with someone like that, because he does, if I don't say or ah, he'll just cut in with something new. So I try and audio block him a little bit, because he's very sharp. He'll get something in no matter what you're talking about.
He's really quick.
Very sharp.
And I really like that, actually, because I found that, even though he was quick, I found I had time to say what I wanted to say, because I'd only phone in because, you know, when you've got it in you where there's so much to speak about and you need an outlet, and at the time I didn't have an outlet because I wasn't a Discord user or anything. I'd just listened to IPS and a few other things, and I'd just take the opportunity to phone and you just let it all out. But he'd ask another question that would lead you and it would make you reflect more. Honestly, he is really intelligent in that way.
Yeah.
I can only concur. And I say that I really enjoyed when Sean went on there one night. And it was the best interview I've heard with Sean for the reasons you say. But he's good at it. He's sensitive and sympathetic. He's great. Talented, I'd say.
I don't remember the SMJ one either. You got to drop a link. You got to save these things.
Yeah,
maybe
I guess,
do. There's so much content, it's hard to keep up.
Mate, I mean, it's prolific you are in content. I mean, yeah, it is difficult sometimes. You must. I mean, I'm terrible at sort of documenting things, storing them and keeping things in order. Where I just sort of throw things on, you know, without passwords all over the place, and I get in a mess. I don't know quite how you do it sometimes.
By the way, Marcus Allen is making a comeback. He says he's inspired by the work of the Fakeologist. And tonight at 8 o'clock, we're doing a test drive of his new talk show. Apparently, he's going to show his face. So if anyone wants to listen, I'm going to ask if I can stream the show at 8 p.m., which is in 3 hours. So if you guys want to listen in, feel free.
Oh, wow. With Marcus Allen, one of the original researchers in No Planes and 9/11, and a legend of alternative research, really, isn't he? Yeah. You've got to say, he is a name. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, is Brevelacet producing him or something these days? I don't know.
No. That was a short-lived thing. I don't think he's producing now, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
No, it's just, I just wondered. It was a while back. Yeah, sorry. It was just one conversation a little while back. But
that was a while. That was a short-lived thing. But if you want, tune in. I'll even open up the phone lines if he lets me. I have a London line. That's what I was trying to tell you, Tom. I got a London line. Can you dial London from your place for free?
No, I think I'd probably, because it's another county. It may cost me. But I have hours of minutes on my phone. I think it might be. I don't know. It might be okay. I really don't know. I use that phone number. I think you have to go 011 or something, or 001. And then the phone number you posted. But I did. You may have heard me ringing it. Did you hear me ringing it before you said go to the lobby?
No.
I did. Oh, I tried it. I tried that number and it was ringing. So I was just going to try out if it worked. But,
but did you get a voicemail?
No, I didn't let it ring until it gave me a voicemail. I let it ring a few times, and then hung up.
Let me look. Let me see if there's any missed call. Cause sometimes it doesn't ring at all if I'm on something. I got a call today. No, I don't see any missed calls. No. No, it didn't go through, so I know it works because Skylark.
Yeah, well, he prompted me to put the code in front of it, and then there's bit and I put the number that you you sent me. Doesn't matter, and it did ring. You know, it's ringing as if it was ringing somewhere. So anyway, I'll try again at some other point, but it's just a bit of fun to use the phone, but I can do it and get on Discord like this, and it's just the same difference.
No, Discord is better fidelity. Way better.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's, if I use it like a phone like this, it's probably not bad audio.
Very good, very clear.
Yeah, we're normally on. I'm interested. Oh, sorry. As you're in the UK, I'm just interested, but do you know anyone who's been diagnosed or died of COVID?
Well, I mean, it's a grey area, Skylarkin, isn't it? Because I know people who have died during this period and who have been said to have died with COVID. So interestingly, famous people as well. So a guy, Dave Greenfield was his name, he did the Stranglers keyboard player, and he did Golden Brown. Do you remember Golden Brown?
Oh, yeah.
Golden Brown. That's him playing the piano. That's his piano riff there, and he's a classic sort of the Stranglers keyboard player. But he died of, he had a heart attack, I think. He had a massive heart attack, and he wasn't that healthy a man. And I knew him as a friend, and of course they put in the paper he died with COVID. You know, I shouldn't laugh.
Isn't that like dying with your left arm? It just seems so. It's like saying he died with blood. Well, of course.
Yeah.
That's just...
Yeah.
COVID is nothing but whatever we already have in us. It's not toxic. It's not contagious. That's a lie, I guess.
Yeah, that's certainly. I mean, right from the start, we were saying, look, if you want to make a con, just do a one with coronavirus, because it's the common cold. You can find it all over the place. You know, it's a catch-all. You know, oh yeah, perfect. Yeah, you see, you've got coronavirus. Yeah,
did they actually tell you what he died of? Did they say heart attack?
Well, yeah, I mean, just the fact that they had to say he died with COVID, you see what I mean? They couldn't say he died of it.
Yeah.
Because probably legally they couldn't say that. It was just weird. And then there's a couple more that I should mention. Another guy, because I'm in care work, of course, I deal with people, old and vulnerable people, all the time on a daily basis. So we do see a certain amount of vulnerable people passing. Yes, we do. So I'm in that very much, in that sort of environment where I would, I see old and vulnerable people intimately on a daily basis. But one guy was an artist from Cambridge. Was a guy called Rufus, and I don't know if I need to mention those, but he was a wonderful old character, and I was with him very briefly. I went, saw him one day, about a week before he went into hospital, and then about a week later he died. Now the week before he went into hospital, I was seeing him, I saw his notes and everything, and he had loads of underlying health conditions, but there was no mention of coronavirus or anything at all. He was just in a position where he should not have been sent home from hospital because he wasn't strong enough. But that's what they did to him at that time, because they were sending people home left, right and centre as they anticipated this thing. You know, they already had fucking huts up at the hospital with the testing things, you know, in months before. And you said, well, here it comes, you know. And then it did happen. And so they're sending people home from the hospital who should be in hospital being looked after. So a week later he got ill, Rufus, and he went into hospital and he died. And they said he died after a battle, in the newspaper, after a battle with COVID-19.
So that's what Vernon Coleman is talking about when he says we're killing the elderly. That's what he's talking about, you just said. Killing the elderly by neglect.
Fucking right. You have to forgive me for occasionally getting a bit fractious with this stuff, you know, because it does.
Go for it.
It's just, you know, I just say it can make you angry. Yeah, it does. Some of this makes me, if the DNR gnosis is coming through, do not resuscitate. And this, it's fucking, you know, yeah, it is neglect. It's abusive, it feels like, you know. It's
they're
fucking callous.
People are being murdered, you know. And the elderly who have worked really hard and they've got to pension age, that I feel sorry for them because they're being isolated as well. It's really,
yeah.
Really shit,
which
you
is,
know.
That's a form of torture.
I mean, they're already lonely, but you're saying no family can even go and visit them, and you've got reports on the news where families are waving at their older relatives through the window. And
is that still happening?
Not now, but that's how it was in March. But people are still afraid, so they will still isolate or refuse to see family members.
Yeah,
so
yes, that is true. I've heard that too.
Because of the fear is ingrained now in a lot of people.
Yeah.
They're terrified.
Yeah.
So they won't anyway.
Yeah.
But that really saddens me. I mean, my mum, she likes to go to church, and she can't even go to church because church isn't open, and her friends are isolating themselves because they're so terrified, so they don't have that community network.
That will kill people. Suicide rate, I heard this figure the other day touted about, you know, you've got to be careful with these things, but 250% up suicide rate.
Yeah.
And you kind of think, well, there is a certain logic to it. You know, you're just going to get more people under pressure. It's abnormal. They're out of their routine. It's isolating. All these things are classic.
Yeah.
And you're right about the AA meetings, because AA meetings are on Zoom now.
Absolutely.
You know, they can't even go and sit in a room and speak to fellow alcoholics. It's on Zoom, so you're isolated. You're in your home, and that temptation of alcohol is going to be there. It's destroyed everything for everybody. Everything.
Yeah.
This is really shit, and I myself am very angry about it, you know. And I'm angry, especially talking to people that don't understand that we're just being fucking duped, because we are.
By the way, I'm going to have to go in a minute, but do you think, like I do, that it's better to be a fake confronting this?
Sorry, you cut out my end just when you were saying that, Tim.
Somebody called me. Hold on. What I was trying to say is, do you think it's better to be a fakeologist to take on this hoax, or would you rather be ignorant of fakeology?
I'd rather be a fakeologist. I'd rather know and prepare myself, to be honest.
Yeah,
I was ignorant for a long time, so...
Well, to be blissfully ignorant, is that a blessing? It probably is, but we as individuals, we could only be how we are and who we are right here now, couldn't we? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
but wouldn't you be more worried that you'd die if you just saw someone or coughed on someone if you were not a psychologist?
I mean,
yeah,
that would be... It's pathetic. It's in you. It's weird. Yeah, I couldn't be like that. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah,
I'm less fearful now because I know it's. But that's my view of it. I mean, who knows? They could. I mean, and I still have this in the back of my mind. They could actually release something that is real, couldn't they? You know, we have no fucking idea what their next step is or what they're doing. We don't know. It's just what we.
Things. Yeah, well, I doubt they're going to release anything. I don't think there's anything to release. I just think it's fantastic that we know that we can't catch something from each other.
I feel empowered that a bit. And, like, I've done so much. Like, recently I've been fasting to boost my immune system, and not because of COVID, but because of the flu, because I've had the flu before, and last time I had it, I was hospitalized, and it was horrible. So it was just for the winter season coming, and, you know, not necessarily COVID.
You've got to embrace it and adapt, haven't you? Whatever's going to happen. That's what we've got to do, and keep our chins up and not get depressed through this.
And it's empowering, like you say, it's in its own way, definitely. and we need to make the best of it, you know? Yeah, good idea. It's not all bleak.
I'm going to leave you to English people here. I'm going to pass out for a while. I got to go eat something, but it was nice chatting with all of you, and keep talking if you like. Oh, we got a lot of people in here. Lilith,
yes.
2020, and Benoit. Oh,
yes,
over,
I was about to introduce Lilith, which is a member that just joined us from IPS, so I will unmute her so she will be able to speak and introduce herself. So, hi, Lilith.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
All right. Good to talk to you, Tim. Take care, mate.
Nice chatting. Nice chatting.
See you up.
Bye-bye.
Well, I'll wait a minute. I'll hear from Lilith.
All right. Yeah, yeah. Why not? Lily, why Lilith?
Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Oh, nice to meet you all. I'm from the IPS Discord channel. I heard Fakeologist on the show last night.
How did I do?
Oh, you were marvelous.
Oh, God bless you.
You were marvelous. Yeah.
Aren't you nice? Where are you from?
I'm in New York State. I'm in the Buffalo, Niagara Falls area.
Oh, I go there all the time. I got food poisoning in Niagara Falls.
Well, I was going to mention in the chat last night that if I had known, we could have arranged to take our phones and zoom in and wave to each other across the river.
I was up in the Ferris wheel. I don't know if you could. I don't know if you'd be able to see me waving.
I did. I do remember you saying that that's what you had done because you weren't able to come across the bridges to the U.S.
No, the border's closed, and he just said you can't go over for another. Can't go over for another month now.
Well, there is some way that the people that work on opposite sides of the border get over, but I don't know how it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you have a reason to go, you can go. But I just wanted to go to the Cracker Barrel, and my wife's going crazy because she wants to eat over there at the Cracker Barrel. But you don't.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to Fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the Donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout-out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
And for some reason, Lily, yes, apparently, she will probably be back. I don't think that she's that much used to the Discord utilization and everything.
Yeah, she sounds like an older woman, but that's pretty cool that you got her on here. Good for you, Jared. You're doing a good job.
Hi,
yes,
Ben.
I'm getting used to it.
Say that again?
I'm getting used to it.
All right, cool.
Oh, bonjour, bonsoir. How are you doing?
I'm good, and you?
It is the best day of the week so far.
Why?
So many reasons. Everything is going my way. I have no specific issue. In the end, this COVID thing doesn't get really to me anymore. I don't really care. I don't take public transportation, so I am not seeing people with masks each and every day. As much as I used to, so. Everything is better in that sense.
Oh, I see. Okay. Good. Yeah, you got independent transportation. That's good. Yeah, it looks like we picked up a couple of members from IPS. I'm going to try and go on his show now that he's moved his show to a reasonable time slot.
Yes. Apparently, you did left a good impression on his members because they are kind of flocking around those parts.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, I'm going to mute for a while. I'll let you guys talk.
Yes, I kind of killed the flow of the conversation to introduce someone that has no left the room. So, kind of strange at this point.
No, don't worry. Is Tom still here? Is he gone?
I think Tom is still here, but he's muted.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to know what he felt about Grenfell, because we had a little chat about it, but did you see that, Benoit, when that Grenfell tower, like a flat went off?
Yeah, sorry, Benoit will answer you, I'm sure. Yes, I'm here now. But my batteries were running out. I haven't got too long.
Oh, no worries. Oh, we'll have to chat sometime then. It's good to hear another person local, you know. Someone else in the UK,
That's better. Yeah, yes, mate. I mean that, Skylark, and as well. It's lovely to talk to someone from England who's down to earth, clear, and I really appreciate hearing what you were saying, because I just felt I didn't feel so alone, do you? This sort of the outrage with this and amazement at all this. So, and yeah, no, we're going through the same thing.
Yeah, and I work in social care as well with disabled children. So they're very similar to you, you know.
Vulnerable adults.
Very vulnerable people. And,
Well, I'm at the moment, of course, because you see it, the DNR notices, whatever, the neglect, the isolation in hospitals. You're front line with it as well, vulnerable adults. But absolutely, I did agency care work prior to that, but I'm at home care now. Yeah, with the elderly mostly. But yeah, no, Grenfell. You're talking about Grenfell. Grenfell.
Yeah, that was interesting though, Grenfell. I mean, honestly, because I just remember. I mean, and I was awake then, but. Just being really, it was like I was hypnotised by the breaking news and the fire, that building on fire. I just remember working at home and watching it, and I couldn't take my eyes off it because I was trying to work out what was happening. So I was thinking, is this real or not? Because a lot of them I do think are hoaxes, like the Manchester Arena thing with Ariana Grande, you know. I thought that was definitely a hoax, but...
Yeah.
I couldn't put my finger on it at all. And then when the MP, David Lammy, when he came out and said his friend died, it was this girl, she was an artist. Did you see that?
Right, an actress. She might as well have been an actress, you know. Oh, a part-time actress and apology. But, yeah, it was one of those moments. Yeah, when you just get a first bit of evidence that just sort of you think, well... That fits in perfectly with the PSYOP scenario here, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this is formula.
I believed it. And then I saw her, and then I thought, nah, this is fake. Once you know it's a friend of an MP, that's like, in there, do you know what I mean?
It was too perfect. Yes, yeah, so all the pictures I was saying in the chat there, that they had the flames were depicted in a V, like a triangle. Okay, a lot of them. If you go back and look at a lot of the pictures there, there's this V. And Grenfell Tower, I said, was like a flaming totem at the apex of the Golden Triangle, which is something planners have been talking about in England for sort of a few years now, as this golden area of England, which is between the universities of Oxford and Cambridge, and then these other colleges right in the centre of London there, just about where Grenfell is. And I've been talking about this golden triangle. There's been so much development in this area at the moment, and I knew they were talking in these terms. But then I saw this big V at the apex, this flaming totem. Anyway, sorry, Ben.
To add to what you were saying, there was some sighting of London with some flames on it during the 2012 Olympic Games opening ceremony.
That was that.
I am sure that there was some pictures of some burned teddy bears at the time of the burning tower.
I think this stuff's been going on for years, hasn't it? Legend and these great. So this is how you know civilization was born and shall continue with these ceremonies.
It was a ritual, almost. Wasn't it, Renfrew? It was ritualistic, Renfrew. And I didn't realise that until after I realised I'd watched, like, probably 5 hours of a building burn. It was like, I was trying to fix it, And then I realised, you know what, I've been watching a ritual here. I've been watching a building burn. You know, it was definitely a ritual, it was. And that, where is Grenfell, which borough of London? Is it Islington?
It's just west. It's central. It's pretty central. So this apex is where these colleges are, which is sort of on the, is it the left bank? On the, just north of the river. Very central. Near the London Eye. Near the London Eye. You know what I mean? It's actually really quite central.
Yeah, because I think at the time I remember it being Jeremy Corbyn's borough where he's an MP. And I don't know, there was just so much so weird, but it's just so bizarre how nobody even seems to mention it now. And that was such a big thing where they said all these people died and the majority of them were supposed to be immigrants. And it's barely mentioned, is it? Really? I don't think it's mentioned. There's no anniversary of it or, you know, like 9/11 or...
Well, it will be continued to be used in for years to come, but it's not that high profile because it's a bit, you know, hasn't been rammed down our necks constantly, but it'll go, you know, do you know what I mean? It's just a big psyop that will be influence decisions for years to come.
And there was one guy, I think it was that, he was on his way to work at a carpet shop. Oh no, that was that bombing actually. It was the one on the train where there was like a bucket on the train that was on fire and they said it was a terrorist attack in London. I don't know if you remember that, and that was only a couple of years ago. And then there was a guy on his way to work and he was going to open up his carpet shop and they showed him and it was like his hair was like on fire and it was just really bizarre because I just remember seeing that and thinking that's a psyop and like he was laughing his head off when he was talking about it as well, like, you know, the duping delight and everything. And I don't know, it's just so funny because everything that I watch now on the news, it's just like, that's bollocks, like everything,
nothing. Yeah, I think it's true. Not much is true on the news, except maybe the color of the vest of the person presenting. But apart from that,
yeah. Do you ever think, Benoit? Do you ever think like the presenters, like, even have fake beef just for our entertainment, for their own entertainment? If I watch them and, you know, Nagin Montretti on the Breakfast News and I just think she's always like having like arguments it just looks deliberate arguments with each other and I'm thinking, am I going mad here or being too paranoid or is it just everything everything is, isn't it? Manipulated, yeah.
Yes, I do think so. It's like a TV show, you get certain characters that it's supposed to fit a certain audience, and vice versa.
Yeah, that's the thing, that's what I discovered, because this breakfast presenter, she's Indian, I think, I don't know, I just feel like they deliberately get her to say controversial things to upset people, because she has a lot of hate on social media. And the way her colleagues treat her as well, they treat her, I don't know, it's like the kind of humiliator in a way. It's just really awful to watch. But I do often think that it's to influence, you know, public opinion, their opinion of her.
You get to think of that as in pro wrestling, for example. You get this character that they call the heel. And he's just there to antagonize the public and to be hated and to draw the bad feelings of the people. So all the good feeling will be portrayed on the heroes, if you want. So you get to think of that as in pro wrestling. You get to have this character that is antagonizing everyone to draw negative attention.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I do feel that it's to influence the idiots watching, basically. So that they'll be like, oh, well, you know, she doesn't know what she's talking about, and, you know, but it's funny they do it with that lady, who is lady. She's like the bad guy, you know, like a villain, if you know what I mean.
Yes, but for other parts of the audience, we'll draw sympathy. So that works both ways, you know?
Yeah.
You're the people that will support her and say, oh, you guys are so mean to her. She's just a nice lady and everything. And you get the people that will pile on her with the rest of the group. So, like I said, they did control both sides of the equation by creating those characters.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it's like both sides of the argument, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because everyone will take a position. The time being, what they are, people will start to get to the as far as possible, as fast as possible, start to probably threaten her, and everything is anonymous on the internet, so it's easier even. So like I said, it's just control opposition. You just create a villain and you manage it as much as you want.
Yeah, no, that is true. It's just everything is manipulated, you know.
I do think so.
Every single thing, like, I just laugh at so much, you know.
I won't say it on air that when my girlfriend was telling me that she loved me, I investigate. I don't believe her at face value, you know what I mean?
What, you didn't believe that she loved you?
No, I had to investigate.
And how did you investigate?
Well, I asked her to make me a sandwich.
A sandwich?
Yes.
And did she make you one? Did she make you
a succulent, excellent sandwich with everything in it? Which showed me that she, in fact, did love me.
Fucking hell, if it only takes a sandwich, Benoit, you know, you and I have a
chance. It's not just the sandwich. No, it's just not the sandwich, it's the attention that is given to it, or whatever you are asking to said person in the end.
Yeah.
It's not the fact that if you ask for someone just to see if that person will do it, it's just to see the attention and everything.
If they put love into making it.
Yes. But someone saying that they love you is not proof enough. So everything is fake in this world. I do think so.
Nah, I think you're right, actually, because the number of TV programs we watch and then see someone in a relationship say they love another person, you know, again, that's easy enough to influence somebody, isn't it? You know, we don't really know what true love is.
I have a lot of friends that are supposed to be in a happy relationship, and a few drinks in everything is different. So if it does only take a few drinks to stray from your principle, they're probably not that strong to begin with.
Yeah. No, that is a good point.
So, not everything is fake, of course, but everything that is on TV or on media is fake or meaningless.
Yeah. And it has a massive influence on people as well, like, on how they live their lives, too. They're not used to thinking differently if they've spent so much time being programmed, so... Yeah, it does make a lot of sense.
Yes, and there is a comfort in it. Just yesterday, I was buying something in some big shopping center, and I had no mask, as usual, so I had to buy a mask to enter a shop. And to buy the mask, you get to enter a shop to buy the mask. And the problem was that, so I was at the door of the shop, and the lady said, don't go further, what do you want? I said, I want the mask. So the lady advanced to me, give me the mask. I paid her 50 US cents. And then she recoiled and said, you can no go. But I said to her, did someone die that you know? And she said, yes. So people are really believing it. And they will probably lie to defend that story even.
Yeah. I think a lot of people will lie to defend it because they're so terrified. You know, they'll say, yeah, I know somebody. When they don't, because most people I speak to don't know anyone, and I definitely don't know anyone who's died of it, you know.
I don't know anyone that really got it. The only people that I know that say that they had it there are people with bad hygiene, bad life hygiene. They don't eat well. They probably drink too much. So I'm not surprised that they are sick.
Yeah, so their body's under stress as well. Because, I mean, just thinking you will can make you ill, can't it? You know, just thinking about it, just being negative and thinking that you will be ill can make you feel unwell.
Yes, definitely. I mean, we probably all in this room have ended up in the ER for something stupid because we panicked for some reason. I mean...
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Yasarian, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yes, what I was saying is that, to give you a simple example, if for some reason right now I would have to feel some testicular pain, I would probably be in the ER in less than 15 minutes.
Yeah,
mind over matter,
everything.
Yes, so panic is a big factor. And if you are believing that there is some strange disease that has a big possibility to kill you for some reason, you will probably feel very less well than you would if you were believing that everything is fine and nothing will happen.
Hello?
Yes, I'm still there. Yes, what I was saying is that positive thinking is the best cure for any type of illness you might feel.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. You have to be, because it drains you, like stress drains you when worrying about things and a bad diet, drinking a lot of alcohol. You know, I've been guilty of all of that in the past and felt really unwell, but, you know.
If you stop thinking about it, the worst thing that could happen to you is dying, but that will happen anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, you will die.
Yeah. No, it's so true. And this is why this corona, this COVID is so terrible. It's clever, really, because it's made people really afraid and they will give up, you know. And it's just had lots of implications. Like I was saying before, you know, a lot of people have been lonely because of it. And, you know, being lonely can really hurt you and, you know, probably cause death as well. If you're depressed and anxious, I mean, sadness, it's awful, you know, just being sad even and not looking after yourself, all of those things, in a way, it's clever from the point of view of whoever is doing all of this, but, you know, it's really sad, I think, anyway, that I can't deal with that, really. It's the cruelty of it. I think it's cruel. You know, people have lost their businesses and stuff and livelihoods and they can't afford to eat or pay their rent or their mortgage. It's just awful. That's what angers me, I think, the most.
And that was during the best month of the year. What we are facing now is winter. In winter, it will be even more terrible for the people that are already lonely.
Yeah, I agree. I think winter will be rough. It will be.
None of that should matter to us in reality.
Yeah. You'd hope so. I think if you're strong and if you're able to deal with it and know what to expect, you'll be okay. But for people that don't know what to expect and who are believing it and think it's real, I think it's a problem, isn't it?
No, not really. The thing is that it's always a question of panic. Because if there is a disease that will only touch, let's say, 5% of the population, and that of those 5%, 98% of them will survive, there is absolutely nothing to fear, even if you believe that there is such a disease.
Yeah, that's true. But I suppose I'm thinking of people who were forced to believe it. Like, for example, you've got an old person who wants to see their family at Christmas. And it might be that that old person might not believe it, but their family members might believe it and think, oh, I've got to protect, you know, my mother or my father or... Do you know what I mean? Because everyone's virtue signalling now, they're like, oh, well, we've got to protect all of our grandparents from COVID. That's why they're in a mask.
It's I'm
no,
back.
It, yeah, it's just this manipulation, isn't it? So even if that old person thinks it's a load of bollocks, their kids might be, well, I'm not going to go near them because I'm scared of killing them. But really, it's an excuse because they don't really want to see them or, you know, if they're selfish or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, they can use it for those selfish means, of course. Yeah, these things. Yeah, that does happen, and of course it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But and from altruistic reasons as well, you know, I suppose. A lot of people, you know, that's what they've been convinced, you know, that for the greater good. You know, for civilization, you know, it's lazy, isn't it, really? It's not fucking the greater
lazy.
Good.
Yeah, because they're not thinking for themselves. It's like, oh, well, the media says they're saving all the grandma. So, you know, I'm sick of hearing this grandma argument. Because I hear it so much, like, oh, you don't care about the older generation, do you? Because you're not wearing a mask and, oh, it's just...
Yeah, well, it's a classic sort of, you know, guilt complex. It's a con, isn't it? It's like the global warming thing, when all you've got to do is breathe out CO2 and you're it's like the original sin, isn't it? Yeah, it's all pervasive.
Yeah.
Can use it any way you wish.
Yeah, and it suits everyone, doesn't it? It manipulates everybody, no matter what, where they're from, what group they're from, or there's something for everybody.
Yeah, and it's a classic of. I always think one of the classic ones that made me understand how the world ticked was when the Greenham Common women. Do you remember them in the 80s? They were there was cruise missiles at these American air bases in England. It was a big sort of cause celeb, you know, these Greenham Common women were there protesting it and camping at the site of these air bases. But really what they were, in retrospect, history tells us, is some of the greatest nuclear bomb promoters nuclear myth promoters that England, that Britain had. They were a great part of it, you know, but they were well-meaning girls, anti-war and anti these horrible missiles, but they were the ones that were actually promoting it because they were giving it validity down there by being there. It's a classic. Yeah, so a lot of well-meaning people now are trying to do for the greater good now, just like those women were thinking they were doing, are actually the biggest promoters of it, you know, the COVID or whatever. A whole load of well-meaning people, which of course makes it so difficult to go against.
Yeah, exactly.
And the thing is that it's the easier route to take. For example, I said many times that no one is giving a shit that our clothes are made by slaves. No one gives a shit about that, really. I know I don't. Most of my clothes are made in Vietnam. I know of the condition of the common worker in the clothing industry in Vietnam, and I still don't give a shit, as everyone does every day. So, in the end, like you said, it's virtue signaling, and there isn't much sense to it, really. It's plain stupid. If you really care that much about the life of other human around the globe, stop slave labor.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny now, if you notice, if a woman now complains about anything, they call them a Karen. It's like this new mentality. And the man as well, they call them a Kevin or something. Like the
not the KK. Two 11s. The Kevin and the Karen. This is an English thing, Ben. They started calling, yes, I've seen this as well. It's the latest meme. A woman in England is now called a Karen, you know, to generalise
America as well. America too.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
That's so common. Karen. Yeah, it's just putting this in people's heads, isn't it? Characterising, shaping the culture steering.
Yeah, it is social engineering, I suppose. So if I want to say anything that is against the narrative that everyone believes, I'm a Karen now.
It's equivalent to okay boomer. for the older folks.
That's right, because my daughter said that to me. She'll say, okay, boomer. And I'm only 44, I'm not a baby boomer, but it's like the new thing now.
Oh, yeah, God.
This Karen thing, it just really annoys me because now it just shows you're not allowed to say anything. You can't disagree or else that's what you'll be called. And people will film you and they'll put you on YouTube, you know, if you say anything to disagree and, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like part of the new speak is a Karen. Yeah, you become a Karen, which is just characterizes a moron. But since you no need to hear anything else, you know, that's what they say. That's not politically correct, is it? The future should sort of pick people up on that and say this is a sweeping generalization. There are many people called Karen out here, and this is an unpleasant generalization. These memes are poisonous. You should not have them in your social media, constantly putting people's heads on a daily basis. It's unhealthy. But that will come in time, I suppose, to serve the agenda.
But it was funny at first, the Karen thing, you know, with the Karen haircut and everything. I did find it amusing. You know, it was like, that blonde haircut. And, you know, I found it funny.
Archetypes.
It was being weaponized. It wasn't just the blonde woman who wanted to speak to the manager. It's basically any woman who had to say anything that was disagreeing with anything. Basically. But do you see what I mean? So it shifted from being the woman who wanted to complain to the manager, because we all know a Cameron.
That's why it works.
Without being labelled a Karen is a sexual harassment. That's how far the speech of the woman can go those days.
Yeah. You can't say anything about anything. So, no. Because I did find it funny myself, but now it's like, I cannot be a conspiracy person, you know, a conspiracy woman even, I can't, because it would be like, oh, you've been a Karen now. Why you not got your mask on? You've been a Karen. That's like typical Karen. I'm listening because it's really interesting, because I was going to ask you, do you find that you have many people local to you to talk about this stuff too, like, you know, like say within your job or... socially.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really. My friend I see most of, in a sort of strange relationship I have with him, but no, it's fine, he drops by, he doesn't. I mean, he's very open-minded, but he completely watches too many, much of the news, and he thinks it's all real. And then, I haven't really got anyone, if someone at work is very skeptical about it, I mean, but I don't really, I'm not that social at the moment, don't have there's a few key people, and I just, they're just not going to buy it, you know, not really many people, but I'm close, I can talk to you about it, you know, what about you? Got anyone around you in these terms?
Do you know, someone that surprised me during lockdown was my neighbour, because I just couldn't believe it. We were just chatting one day outside, and then we got talking further, and I just said to her, I said, oh, this 5 or 6 nonsense, it's a hoax. And she said, yeah, I think that too. And she was, like, really surprised. She was like, I really didn't think, I thought you were hiding away because I hadn't seen you for ages. And I was like, no, I thought you were hiding away. And it was so funny. And I shared with her that, you know, Fall Cabal, the Fall of the Cabal, that series about Q. I, like, sent it to her, and she was, like, really amazed by it. But yeah, but she's been awake for years. And we were, like, recommending stuff to each other. And so that was really nice. So now I know at least I've got my neighbour. But friends in the past that I've tried to talk to, it's just been impossible, and putting things on Facebook. But I've got one friend, another friend who did wake me up. But in a way, I feel like she doesn't want to talk about it. Even though she's awake, it's like, I just get the feeling she finds it a bit depressing, so I just don't talk to her about it, really, because I think, because sometimes it can get depressing, can't it? You go through phases where you're aware of this stuff, but it can get you down, even when you don't even realise it, like, especially if you're really immersed in it, you know what I mean? If you can't.
Yeah, well, I think life itself is, yes. Life itself brings us challenges, and life itself is difficult. We always have to, you know, life is all about, you know, well-being and being able to deal with these difficult, you know, confronted with these conflicting things, you know?
Exactly. Like you say, life isn't easy, and then this on top of it, I suppose. If you go through phases, you know, when I first did wake up to everything, I did go through loads of phases, like where you go through where you don't believe it, and then you get angry when you realise, and then you're in denial for a bit, and all those feelings can keep coming back, can't they, for different things, and like you say, dealing with life in general, then it's not easy, but yeah.
Yeah, so.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Yeah, I think for me this is challenging to experience this, and your main thing is to be able to work through it to a place where you can find some peace, it's one of those, it's a challenge in life once you actually wake up to it, and that's why people dodge away from it, because it's scary. They don't want to put the work in, and they see that's the ground ahead for them, but they have to just find a new reality, and it's too frightening. But we've come through to it, to that, perhaps you could say, and this is just a new reality, same deal, but your main thing is,
yeah, we're just living in the 70s film now. This is Soylent Green or something. That's all that's happening.
No, if that's a 70s movie, that's Omega Man, and I'm Charlton Heston, and you know who you are.
Is it Yul Brynner in that one? I can't remember. Yeah, Omega Man. Yeah, that was an old one.
Oh, Westworld. Westworld was your brother.
Oh, that's right.
It's a brilliant film, that is. So what film are we living in then? Because we're not eating humans yet. We're not eating human discs yet. So it's not Soylent Green.
Is it Brave New World 1984, or is it Friends? Canned laughter. Chew canned laughter.
Seinfeld.
Yeah. Okay, canned laughter at the football. I mean, for fuck's sake, must you? You know, I suppose they've done it on TV for years. You know, just press a button. Oh, no. I don't like it. Never like that shit. Never like canned laughter.
I can't stand it. And it's sad because there is some very good shows that I can watch because of canned laughter.
Yeah.
I know.
Is this real, Nicole?
Prompting people to laugh is crazy, isn't it? Like, why do you need to be told when to laugh?
Yeah, it's just that real tone, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's when someone's bullshitting you, sometimes they can't be funny that easily. Do you know what I mean? Because you don't warm to them, because it hasn't come from a place of love. The decision always has to be to fool you. So that's why we look at our politicians talking the shit that they do, and they're not sexy, are they? Do you know what I mean? Because it's not coming from a position of love. It's coming from a fucking... Yeah, default position of fucking trying to deceive you, so it can't be loving you. So the tone is just, I don't know where I got to that, but the tone is bullshit.
Yes. There is, you can find on YouTube some excerpt from some TV, current TV shows without the laugh track, and it's awful. Don't really know when you are supposed to laugh or not, when the joke is falling. It's terrible. Mainly they are saying common phrases and they are adding the laugh to make you think that it's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's comical in itself, really, isn't it? Because as we know, laughter is infectious and all you've got to do is start making yourself laugh a bit and you can induce a laughter. So, yeah, I mean, it's catchy. It's
worse. You think that you didn't get the joke, so you laugh anyway.
Yeah. Well, laughter is good. I mean, let's not forget that. Yeah. Sometimes I don't laugh enough these days. You know, I get too serious and thoughtful about things, and you realise, oh, when was the last time I had a good laugh? You know. So,
yeah. Same.
I like to have a laugh.
There is a few things that I do listen to almost every year that I'm sure will cheer me up when I need it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Some 1 to 2 minutes long clips that will just cheer you up.
Yeah. I've got go-to things as well, yeah, absolutely. Every time, you know, can always love it. Of course, I mean, yeah. I go to Jerry Lee Lewis playing live in 1983, I think, in the Hammersmith Odeon. A couple of songs from that gig were good. He was on form that night. Good, the band, sounded good. But yeah, things like that, I love it. There are plenty of things to appreciate. And on that note, I'm trying. You can probably hear me trying to make some milk here. I've got some powdered milk because I was on the phone so long I didn't get up to the shop. But I need to probably do something now and leave you alone and stop waffling on. It's been good to talk.
Oh, are you making a cup or are you?
I am. Yep, that's the idea. Oh, I'm going to have a cup. I'm actually going to have a decaffeinated coffee. I had milky coffee.
Yeah.
Lovely. What do you like? Do you like a cup of tea or a cup of coffee at this time of night or not at all? Ovaltine.
I'll have, at this time of night, I'll have a herbal tea. But in the day, I'll have coffee and tea. But after about 2 o'clock, I won't have coffee because I won't sleep. I'll stay awake.
Yeah, I cannot have caffeinated coffee this time of day. No way. But I just can't resist the taste. I love a milky one. Milky drink.
Yeah.
But you're very sensible. Herbal tea, much better for you, I'm sure. That's a good regular drink.
I don't know how people do it. I don't know how people do it, like drink coffee at 8 o'clock at night. How the fuck do they do it? I mean, I used to take loads of drugs, but I can't take a fucking cup of coffee now.
there was one point in my life I was immune to it. I think it's almost psychological. And it's like I couldn't take it at all now. I'd feel absolutely jittery. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but that month, for some reason, I was living on it, you know, at one time. I didn't even think about it. I just drank it all my hours of the day. Full strength.
Yeah.
Bizarre.
Yeah.
Strange phase. It's the body chemistry.
If I drank too much, my stomach, it was like it was in stress, you know, like that anxious feeling. But I drink a lot less now. I'll have like 2 cups in the morning and then I'll have tea after that and that's it. But I'm drinking wine now, so I'm a bit merry.
Hey, that's all right. Yeah, I've only just recently dipped back into trying alcohol for the first time in 11 years.
No way! Did you quit drinking? Or?
Yeah, I did. On the 13th of October 2009, and then I just have I'm in lockdown. Did I try alcohol again for the first time in all that time? So I've got to be. I was very, very, very tentatively, like a child, you know? I don't even like the taste of a lager anymore.
That's a good thing, though, that you don't even like this. But you see, this is this lockdown, because I've drank probably the most I've ever fucking drank over the past 6 months. Honestly, I've been...
Alcohol abuse has gone up. That's another stat. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's so sad. And did you notice they opened the pubs before the gyms as well? That really annoyed me. Pubs were open, but the gyms had to wait about a month before they could open, you know.
Yeah, it's just tedious. It's just like, it doesn't make sense, as you said earlier, you know. It's just like conflicting ideas that don't really make any logical sense. I mean... I have to wear a mask to go to work. If you can imagine in care work, there are circumstances and times where I have to. So I just do it, you know. I have to wear a mask on public transport. And just so that it makes other people feel comfortable, I'll just do it. You know, it's hardly the end of the world, you know, if we have to do this for now. But, you know, I'm just a sop prop, you know. You just call me a sop prop, baby. And you can't help it, can you? You have to do it.
Yeah. Exactly. It just has to be done. I know. I'm just really stubborn, though. But I was going to say, you sound like Bill Nighy a bit, actually. But have you heard that before?
I haven't. And Bill Nighy, is he the guy, right, that did those kind of quirky James Bondy type films? No, he's not, is he?
He's like an older dude. He does loads of Radio 4 things, and he did, you know, that Radio Luxembourg film. Did you watch that?
I'll check him out. He's famous. I know he's famous, and I know I'll know him, but it's one of those names. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about. But, there you go. I did put a pair of glasses on the other day and thought, oh, I look a bit like him. That's why I wondered if he meant him.
Oh, it might be him, then. If you put glasses on and you look like him, then...
And also on my wall of my room, I've got something that he, in one particular film, he had things just like, I thought, oh, that's just what I've got on my wall, like a front page of a newspaper, a Sun newspaper or something, you know, very English and like simple message. Love it. But, there we go. What was I thinking the other day? Yeah, I love that the mod thing with military promotion, you know, rock and roll is kind of military operation. And there's the mod design, which is a target from World War, Royal Air Force target from just obviously echoes of World War II. And then into the 60s, this most counterculture band, this movement, this mod movement with their scooters, their Vespas, their twin cars, was military promotion.
Fred Perry and their Farrah
Clap. Yeah. You got it. And for mod, read Ministry of Defence.
Yeah, I know.
Beautiful.
So it probably was. It's straight out of Tavistock, isn't it? Probably.
Yes, yeah.
They create all the genres, you know. All of it. Everything is engineered. we've never thought for ourselves, have we?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, well, and that's how it works, isn't it? That's how the machine works. We see it. Yeah. But it's amazing, in a sense. You see, we stand back and we look at it sometimes. Do you know what I mean? You can kind of just think, wow, you know.
Yeah. That is,
yes. It's just at the time we were not equipped to discern what we were in. It was just our life, and we were thinking that we have created all of this by ourselves.
Exactly.
That was our movement.
Yeah. And I think I heard SMJ say it years ago, but he said, I think it's a privilege to have some of the knowledge that we have, in a way.
Yeah, I think so. I feel that I'm one step ahead, you know.
Some of the understanding, yeah.
Yeah, I do. But then I get someone tell me that I'm being crazy, and it makes me doubt myself for, like, literally a second, and then I'm like, nah. You're the one that hasn't got a clue. It's like, it's just a doubt for a little second. It creeps in. You know, that gaslighting thing, you know. Because when you hear it so much, you start to doubt yourself a little bit, maybe. But I do, I think we're ahead because we, I don't know, it's true. You know, what you were saying, that SMJ, said, you know, I think it's true. It's nice. It's nice.
I like it. Something. Yeah, I like that. That's got to be part of it, because it's rare that we have a perspective that, so in a way it has to be, doesn't it? A privilege of sorts. It's exclusive, sort of rare breed. You, Skylarking, with your understanding.
Yeah, but we all are, aren't we? As a fakeologist, it's weird calling myself a fakeologist.
Well, I don't call myself one. I've been around the site for a long time, but just literally speaking, it means, in one way, you could say it means a fake, you know, ologist. And that's very much what the sort of disinformation would look to present alternative research as, wouldn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, bless them, our flat earthers, with their fakeology. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I have to say that word and name, but how much good truth do you hear spoken in many other places? And so I'd certainly point to the site, you know what I mean, and fakeologist, and say, you know, yeah, learn some chops there, you know. That's cool information. One of the few. And those, you know, some of those audios, you know, it's gripping. I'm mind-blowing to you.
Definitely.
Do you now call yourself, would you call yourself a fakeologist in view of that sort of messy, sprawling summation?
Well, I think it sounds better than conspiracy theorist, because that's the term I've used for years. But, like, when I say it, it just makes people roll their eyes, and it's like, oh, God. But fakeologist, it makes me sound like I've got, like, a master's degree in it, doesn't it? People might relate to it a bit more, so it might be more palatable. So from now on, I'm just going to say, yeah, I'm a fakeologist. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Yeah. And it's cool, yeah. The study of fakery.
I'm not really going to say that.
Yeah, but I don't know. You're right, actually. What do we say other than conspiracy theorist? I'm an alternative theorist. I'm an alternative theorist. Or perhaps we could call ourselves alternative theorists. Or perhaps, I think, right, a little bit outside the box, yes. I'm a Plato's cavist. And then you said, what do you mean by that? Well, I think what we see are just shadows on the wall. And they'll instantly think, I'm a complete nutter, and I shall stumble out of the darkness. But I'm a cunt that thinks things that make you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, I've said that as well in the past. Like, oh, I'm just a cunt. You know, I've had a few drinks and I'm a cunt. You don't want to talk to me.
Oh.
I've said that as well.
Well, I respect a woman who can say that word because it's my favourite word and my favourite thing. And I don't want to offend anyone by having said it. And thanks for backing me up. But yeah, sorry.
It's not offensive. It's not offensive, cunt. It's not.
No,
it's offensive. Exactement, exactement. Merci. Benoit is a blunt Frenchman, and he'll agree with us.
No, because to give you an example that he's taking from the French language, in French you can call someone a con, which is equivalent to a cunt, a con. And I say to... and I probably say this word about 10 times a day. C'est un con. Il est con. Je trouve qu'il est con. So I don't see any offense in saying word, cunt.
It's so beautiful when you say it though, Benoit. Like, con. Con.
I don't think that cunt is a bad word, really. And we all come from a cunt in the end. Or at least...
Exactement.
A little bit upper in the stomach, but that's the same thing anyway.
Yeah, we all of us came out of one directly.
Yeah.
Directement.
Yep.
So it's, I mean, and basically, I've spent most of my adult life trying to get back up there.
That too.
Head first, mate. I mean, I'll start down there and I'll see how far I can get up. Oh, I might be some time. I got my light on my helmet. You know, strap in, relax. Stop it. Oh, no, I've got to get this drink sorted out. Where is it? Oh, it's there. Yeah, and the alternative names, the conspiracy, because it's so polarised, as I was trying to say. It's quite, you know, in this time of uncertainty, of course it's a thing that it's going to be like that, isn't it? You'll either win it with us or again Guinness. So, you know, you've just got to have a foot in both camps and play to the rules and keep smiling and sort of ride like an adult. That's what we've got to be. We've got to be adults.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
No dead air in...
Because everything is removed from the recording, if I am correct. The streamer bot doesn't record data.
Yes, that was always the same with TeamSpeak. That's a good feature. But obviously, as long as people shut up and not waffle on like I am right now. Stop.
Yes, that's a cool feature because there is sometimes data. That's all it is.
Yeah, hence the expression no dead air in live stream.
Yes, exactly. And no one has the idea to bring Craig into the room this time again. But the streamer bot is still here, so it's okay. But be mindful of that. Yes, of course. Yes, but apart from the word can't, we didn't say much yet, so it's okay.
No, we haven't said anything bad. This is cool. No one said anything bad.
No. Someone I used to like much won't say I live there on Earth, so I suppose that's worse than saying cunt.
Yeah, I mean, this is just, these are just words, aren't they? Any, you know, it's not going into it necessarily, but yeah, it's just a word. That's it, the strongest word, really, in strongest swear word, isn't it, in English? Is it the same in French? Because it's cutting, just the sound of it. That sort of... it sounds blunt. It rhymes with blunt, and it sounds blunt, and it's cutting. The C has a quality like kind of no other letter, doesn't it, in English?
Yeah, but it's not as offensive as door softener. Door softener.
What? Door softener.
Door softener. Door softener.
Oh. Stool softener.
Yeah, we were just talking about them before. So offeners. I just love saying it there. So offener.
Softener.
So softener. Nice, isn't it? It's very delicate to say, isn't it? If you need your stool softening, get yourself a stool.
I mean, I feel strangely aroused, but I don't know why.
See you. I'm still softening. Does that arouse you, Tom? Still.
Well, it's part of my job, of course. I'm working in the field where I work. It's a daily occurrence.
You work in that industry,
yeah. I do. So I'm very aware of stool softeners. I mean, obviously, I'll shove some in someone's gob tonight. You know, it's very evening. It's, it depends, you know, how soft you want it. If you want it very soft, you have four. If you don't want it very soft at all, you just have one. And if you want to shit yourself, you can have the packet. Enjoy yourself. But I'm not cleaning it up because I'm not on shift in the morning.
Stool softener.
I bet he'd have a massive cock, wouldn't he?
It's wrong. Stop it. It's wrong. If you're in porn, you evacuate your bowels and you don't eat anything before you do anal. Believe me, a friend of mine does it. She's a Jasmine J.
No, but yeah, that depends on the type of porn we are speaking about. Some people
are specialized. Yeah. Were you talking caviar porn, Benoit? Are you talking about caviar?
Stool softener. Yeah. Well, perhaps some people like that sort of thing. Yeah, I mean, of course, sorry. Yeah, it's great. I mean, enjoy that, yeah.
Whatever floats your boat, man. Whatever lifts your skirt, that's what I say.
Yeah, I would say whatever floats the stool.
Exactly. Wait. Just be on that course, Skylarkin.
But we are deriving the strange discussion, and here's the goodies for those listening 3 hours in, 2 hours.
I'm really sorry. I'm a bit drunk, man. I had a three-day fast, and I'm drinking wine.
And for the sake of clarity, I am currently lighting up a massive spliff, so I will be less coherent in maybe 15 to 20 minutes if we are still on.
Lovely. Yeah, so I've been smoking a little herb today, this evening. And
have
I shall.
You? What did you have?
Oh, I like the green. Yeah, it's nice. I would have a small amount of that. Sometimes the herbal.
It was terrible. It was very terrible in the sense that I was smoking a lot. A lot and a lot, because there was absolutely nothing to do. I was out of a job, so I was smoking insanely. But now it's getting better.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, you, the thing with that stuff is you end up not doing the washing up, making notes. You can get messy, I find. I could get mushy, you know, and untogether a bit. If I smoke it a lot, you know what I mean?
I quit a couple of years ago. I miss it though, but yeah, I do miss it. And I get envious of people that do, because I just think I wish I was like stoned.
If we have a little meet up, you'll get me drinking and I'll get you stoned. No, we mustn't. We're really bad influence on each other. No, but I mean, yeah. But yeah, I know what you mean. Swings and roundabouts, you know, I think you have to balance it up. I think sometimes it would be good to be, you know, not rely on weed and rely on anything really, and be able to be completely sober and find peace. And then from that position, you could be really happy. I sometimes wonder, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Just being happy without being dependent on anything, do you mean?
Yeah, I've always used props and alcohol before. And sort of psychoactive drugs to change my state of mind in the evening to sleeping and relaxing, you know, these sort of things.
And even, he's about enjoying yourself as well, because I was like that. I'd always rely on cocaine or ease, you know.
Exactly. Yeah,
it wouldn't be without anything.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a great night without, you know, the good
without
stuff.
Getting
yeah.
Spot. Yeah.
To make
exactly.
it making it happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why. Yeah. So we probably all understand these things. It's probably that. Yeah. Perhaps one of my little quests in life is to perhaps try and get happy without needing anything. That would be, so it's a cliche really, isn't it? It's an obvious thing to do, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So probably, I'm sure after that, I'd be, from that moment, it could be really good if you had a little drink or a smoke, because you wouldn't need it. It would be only enhancement on happiness. Yeah. Anyway, I'm, excuse me, in my meandering thoughts.
No, it's cool. It's good to talk to you, Tom, honestly. Your ranting last week in the chat, I found really funny, like funny. And then when you apologised, I thought, that's really cool. That's something I do, you know, I'd rant and then I say sorry. And I always think that's the biggest thing, you know, to say sorry. It's like, it's a good
thing.
I just thought, this is like my behaviour. That's what I thought.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. But I appreciate that. I think because it really, you know, you could tell it was genuine. I'd actually thought about that. I thought, what? I'd just been a twat. I had to admit it. You know what I mean? I'd had a tantrum. Apoplexy. I've done it before and I've said, right, come out for a fight to the drummer in the band or whatever. I've been out in the car park with my fists up, you know, and right at that point, I look at him and I think, no, you've actually got to hit someone now. This is why you said come out here and put your fists up. I don't want to do that at all, really. You know what I mean? I don't want to hurt you. You know, what are you talking about? So, yeah, I suppose it's instinctive to fighting, but it's, you know, my fucking apoplexy is always, I never really want to fight when I'm like that. I've just been acting like a child, having a tantrum, swinging his arms around like an idiot. It's frustration.
That's a phase, that's normal.
Frustration.
Yeah, but you don't need to. You don't need to. You can just calm down and simply say it and knock the person out with one sentence.
Oh, that's the internet. That will never be it.
Yeah, true. Yeah. I'm such an idealist. You're fucking joking. What am I thinking?
Not one sentence.
Yeah, I can win the internet with one sentence. I can slay it. And then the word cunt comes up. Yeah. No, you haven't.
Suddenly the other person will say, okay, you were right all along. I'm really sorry. That never happened.
No. Absolutely.
What happened mostly is that some people made some stupid claim or whatever, and a week after that they disappeared.
Yeah.
I managed to not do under the course of almost a year and a half. It's a good performance. I'm rather proud of me, to be honest.
Yeah, well done.
I still have time. I don't need to be too optimistic, but I still have time to fuck up. But so far, so good.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do, step by step.
Yes. And it's only the internet in the end. It's not too bad. It's not like you have a way to come wherever he was and start to punching him up or whatever.
The internet.
Internet. Best tool ever invented. And 80% of it is just basically porn.
That's so true. I've seen some premium cock on the internet.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, exactly. Swings and roundabouts, mate. Swings and roundabouts.
And I don't think that we really realize the effect that it has in the end. In that sense, it's something that never happened, never happened in any society. So I'm sure there is an effect on society about that. So it's
with the internet, logical.
Both porn on the internet. It has to have an effect on the way people are acting.
I think it will shape the, well, it's shaping the next generation, isn't it? For sure, you know. Because we didn't have it really so much growing up, you know.
No, I mean, I think that probably the standard of blowjobs would inevitably get better. You know, we're all like, oh, it's tuition, and I think it's a wonderful future.
Yeah, that's if you taught well visually, you know. Some people, they rely on visual teaching, don't they? So I suppose.
Well, I certainly do. I mean, I'm speaking for myself, you know. I certainly do. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I sought out porn as a boy, you know, growing up. I found it in the newspaper or it was different, a whole different ball game. But this 21st century thing is just absolutely gone as accessible to
all. There is a thing, and it's all around the world. It was a phenomenon even, that probably doesn't happen anymore, but there was in every fucking wood, in every fucking city in the world, some stash of porn magazine.
Yeah, definitely.
Everywhere in the world.
I have three older brothers, so I just remember my brothers having porn and seeing it and, you know, just in a magazine and even catalogues, like, you know, boys looking at catalogues and...
Oh, yeah, the underwear, yeah. Highly erotic. Highly erotic.
Yeah.
Freeman's catalogue, mate. Blimey. I mean,
catalogue where the bombs insane what they were showing to the young boys we were.
The thing is, it was still as sexy as it is when you've got all the porn. You know what I mean? It was...
It was better even.
Perhaps even more erotic, yeah. Those were the days. Freeman's catalogue. Yeah, in fact, I'll go and have a quick look for one as soon as I hang up. I need some more socks. Oh, stop it.
People probably had a pile of catalogue at home.
Or the pages stuck together.
Oh God! Yeah, I mean this is a changing face of masturbating fodder.
Yeah, I'm sure that there is an effect on the brain. It's logic. There is no way around that. The past that imagine king or whatever.
So do you reckon virtual porn will be the next step then? Like you could have a virtual partner in your living room and shag.
Yeah, you put the machine to warm up, you know, because you don't want to put a cold thing on your knob, and then you put it over it, and then it can react, and this thing, and it's got a sensor on it, and
for me, because the size I want, the machine will not render. It will take 10 years for the technology to get up to date with what I want in 5.
Yeah,
exactly.
So specific, aren't you? You've got a specific need.
Yes, exactly. He needs XXXL. But, I mean, personally, I'm not like a medium. No, I wouldn't. I need extra small. You know, what are we talking about again?
I feel out of my depth, actually. I feel out of my depth now. Literally.
I feel out of mine. I said all this large. No, it's I think virtual reality form, it's inevitable, isn't it? It's inevitable that will come along. But has anything really been any good up to now in sort of mechanical porn? No, not really.
Have you watched Black Mirror? Have you watched Black Mirror?
I haven't.
Have you seen Oh, it's brilliant. You've got to watch it. There's one episode.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi.
You do interrupt it.
Frank McManus from howtotakecareofyourpenis.wordpress.com.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
I love it. You see, someone's listening, doing that on purpose. They can't help themselves. The penis reference, you know? And then John as well,
hello.
Bless.
Yeah, this Black Mirror is brilliant. You've got to watch it. I can't remember what it's called, but it's the last series anyway. Because I think it's about 4 or 5 series now.
Yeah, my daughter loved it, yeah.
Oh, it's brilliant. There's this guy who basically, he's married and everything, and then for his birthday, his wife gives him, like, this virtual reality kit. And he doesn't realise he's playing with his best friend, who in the virtual reality scene is like this gorgeous woman, and they end up fucking, but they're best friends, who are blokes in real life, but she's a woman, like, in the virtual reality world. So he's fucking his best friend, who is a woman, and it just works really well, because I suppose that's what people want. They want the best friend as the person that they're fucking, don't they? As their soulmate. And but it was just really interesting. Do you know what I mean?
To be honest, yeah. I rather fuck the pig of the first episode than my best friend, but with John.
Yeah, but what if your best friend had the body of a beautiful woman, Benoit? Of your ideal woman? Say a woman like me was your best friend. That'd be great.
But if I knew you as a male, that wouldn't be possible. You know what I mean?
Have you got a great body, are you telling us, Skylarkin? And a gorgeous, are you a gorgeous, sexy girl?
I think I'm sexy, but I'm not like a skinny bird, or I'm a voluptuous woman, but I'm not overweight. I'm like, yeah, I'm a bit curvy and that, and you know. I'll send you a photo in a bit, Tom.
I'd be like best friends with you and want to cuddle you probably, but I don't think we'd be like sexual partners. That's my guess. But you know what I mean? I think you're great. You're sexy girl, I'm sure you are. Well, you're gorgeous. But you're great. You're already gorgeous in my mind with the way your mind works. I mean, it's very rare in these areas to have someone from England just be so like down a matter of fact and comfortable talking about these things. So yeah, good call for me.
I was surprised actually there weren't more English people, because Ab said that was like, well, he like listed who were the most popular audience groups, and he said people from the UK, Australia, America, and the rest of Europe, but is anyone else? But anyway, I wasn't blowing my own trumpet, I was just saying that Black Mirror.
Sidetrack. Sorry. It's all my fault. Black Mirror episodes. Yes. Interesting concept. And that is ultimately what technology leads to, isn't it? Don't you think?
Yeah, it's the next step, because we'll be able to just turn on a button and just imaginarily fuck whoever we want. You know, instead of, I mean, already now it's impossible to go somewhere and meet a person, which you used to do. Now you meet people on the internet, don't you? It's like you meet them on Tinder or Grindr or whatever.
Yeah.
How more detached from... We're just slowly being detached from reality, really. It's a further disconnect.
I used to meet men at parties. I used to meet men, you know. And I'd just say, do you want to fuck me? And they'd be like, yeah, okay then. But you can't do that anymore because there's no parties happening, really.
Oh, well, you can round mine. Oh, okay, yes. Yeah. I mean, Ben, yeah, we agree. But we've both got parties that you're absolutely welcome to, you know, with that sort of attitude, you know. Love it.
I think that there is still an insane amount of women on the street. That doesn't change anything, at least for me, in my opinion.
Yeah. Sorry, go on.
Because when we go to a certain age, we don't need any social gathering or whatever. If someone is of my taste, and I can feel that it's a mutual feeling, it's on.
Yeah.
Even if we're on the street or whatever, you know what I mean? At this point, we don't need any party or Tinder app or anything like that. It's like I know my public, you know what I mean?
So you can just pick up women on the street, like? You're really sexy, though, aren't you?
Because you're able to. That's not the issue. The thing is that if at a certain stage in life, you know your audience, you know, you don't miss your shot because you know which shot you are taking.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. Maybe
so I figure that the absence of parties or anything doesn't change much in that aspect. It's more for the younger people that it's totally different, but for us, it's still the same game, kind of. It's for the teenagers that it's totally different.
Yeah. Also, I think the quality of people have changed, like, in real life. Like, the people that do go out, I suppose it depends where you're going. If you go into, like, say, a rave, where people are there for the music, and you've got that common interest, it's different. Whereas if you go to a pub or something, it's more like a meat market, or, you know, if the music's not that good, or, I don't know. To me, I just think it was always going out that I met people, really. Do you know what I mean? It's just that culture of going out and getting to know somebody face to face, rather than, now it just seems like the internet, that people meet one another, and you're right, Benoit, because it was like that before lockdown anyway. You know, people were internet dating or whatever, and but I'm just nostalgic for that face-to-face thing and getting to know somebody. But I know that's done now, that's finished. I don't think it'll I think now it'll be rarely like that, how you meet somebody.
Yeah, I mean, someone said that to me yesterday. They said, well, go online. Go on. I thought, I've never done that. It just feels totally unnatural. I don't like it at all. But, everyone's doing it now. You know, you find you have a date online or whatever.
It's not that bad. I tried that many years before. It's not that bad. It's just a way to sharpen your clothes. You know, try your game.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Major relationships.
That's like Rocky in the beginning, he's eating frozen meat in some dirty place. That's the same thing. But you get to grow out of it.
Yeah.
It can be the basis of the relationship that one person has with woman or with man. That is for certain.
Yeah. Of course, it's not. It's totally valid in its own way. It's just, I miss it. The pubs that I grew up in have certainly changed completely. It's not a culture of it like it used to be. And and this bubbles of sex now, whatever is going on, you know, it's like...
I do understand what you are saying. It's like being invited to some party and you meet this girl and suddenly you speak together for the whole evening and the next day you are together, you spend the whole weekend together, for example. Yes, that probably that isn't possible anymore. I will miss, of course, but I will not stop meeting new people because of that situation. That's for sure.
Yeah, I know what you say, and and people have met people online and had really good relationships. You know, I'm not knocking it or anything. I don't think it's negative. I think it's a good thing. I think it's good as an add-on. But I do feel that it will eventually replace, like, when my daughter's older, I think it will replace the way that we're used to meeting people. You know, having that option of meeting for real will become a different thing. It will be a virtual thing, I believe. And I don't want to, you know, I just think it's a shame for people to miss out on that, you know, like, going to a party and... like you say, chatting to somebody and, you know, I think that will be a thing of the past soon. It'll all be on the internet. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it's just having the choices, having it a bit different so that you have the option of meeting face-to-face as well. No. But I think it's a generational thing. I really do. I think it's, you know, I'm still stuck in the 90s. I'll admit that, you know.
Yes. You're probably stuck in the early 2000s, so that's what it is.
Yeah, I am. But I'm not ashamed of it, you know. I'm nostalgic. I can't help it.
It's too late to be ashamed of anything at this point. We are past our 30s. It's over. There is no time to be ashamed of anything right now.
Yeah.
Because the time to really change yourself has passed. You can modify a little bit of what you are, but you have, how can I say that? Our characters are now really defined. And you get to live with them for what they are.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's all good.
But of course, if someone is weighing something like 150 kilos, they can always go down a bit or whatever. But apart from that, at the age of 30, I think that like 30 is over. In the sense that you are kind of setting some weights and it's very difficult to change them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it's, no, but I think it's great, you know, that you're really open about what you like. And because there was that, that time you were talking on a live stream about liking bigger black women, and then that girl Sarah was saying it was scraping the bottom of the barrel. And I thought that was really awful what she said, because it was like, well, how is that scraping the bottom of the barrel if that is what you like? You know, we all have different tastes, and, you know, your taste isn't restricted to one person, is it? Or one type that is acceptable to another. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
yeah.
In the end, you like what you like. Yes, but that's how it is. People are open-minded until you reach their line in the sand. And for that specific lady, it was an interracial relationship.
Yeah, and I think that's great, because you stick to what you like, and good for you. You know, I think that's brilliant. That's a simple,
how can I say that? Marketing or advertising. I mean, if you know what you like, why not be vocal about it? That way you might reach your target audience.
Exactly.
In life in general.
Yeah. No, that's good, because not many people are like that, you know.
Yes, but we are all going to die at one point.
Yeah, exactly. Ricky Gervais said that the other day, this quote. It was brilliant. Do you know Ricky Gervais?
Yes.
He was in The Office. And I've been watching his live streams on Twitter lately, and I must say, they're really funny, really enjoyable, you know, and he was saying, you might as well laugh, because we'll all soon be dead. And it's so true, it's the best way to see things, because we will all be dead soon, so you might as well just enjoy life, you know, and, And I'm learning, you know, learning as I get old, because I have been really uptight at times about things, you know, when I felt stressed, and but I'll soon be dead.
It will be a lot of fun, you know. I'm looking forward to it, dementia, shitting myself. It will be great, a new experience.
Yeah, exactly. It will be. It'll be something different, won't it? It'll be like being a baby again.
That's how it is. There is a beginning and an end. You knew that from a very young age. That's how it is. Some die young, some die old. But we will die anyway, so.
Yeah.
Best thing to do is to accept it and live a better, best way possible.
Yeah, you just embrace it. Embrace it, you know, bring it on.
As they say in the Agakure, which is a book, the Samurai Code, they say that if you live your life as if you are already dead, you live your life freely, and you can still, even if your head is cut, still accomplish one last action.
Yeah.
So So maybe
yeah,
thinking that we are already dead is the way to go.
Yeah, that's a good way of thinking, actually. Already dead. I like
definitely.
It.
But it's getting late. It's 1... Well, yes, it's 1 a.m. here. So I suppose it's even worse for you.
Yeah, it's midnight here. Yeah, better go. Nice chatting. Take care.
Yes, it was a pleasure to speak with you. I'm sorry to have interrupted the discussion to bring someone, but
no,
you didn't stay in the end. But...
No, you didn't interrupt. Just edit out my drunken bit. Can you do that?
You want the last part not published, you mean?
Nah, you are right. Publish it. I don't care.
It's not up to me in the end, but I could always ask if that's what you want.
No, because I don't even remember what I said. So
well, nothing too outrageous, to be honest. Nothing too outrageous.
That's okay, then. That's all right.
So, I will wish you a good night, and we will speak soon enough. Bye-bye.
I'm a bit, and that's all, folks.